Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. At Saturday's March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C., youth from Chicago to South Los Angeles demanded stricter gun laws and resources to tackle gun violence in their communities. They talked about things like after-school programs, mentorship programs, paid internships, and jobs. On today's Your Call, Bay Area youth are taking some time from their spring breaks to join us to talk about the changes they would like to see. Far too many communities in the very wealthy Bay Area are neglected by politicians. So how can we support these young people? We have a full studio of young people today. Myla Turner is a junior at Independence High School and lives in Bayview Hunters Point. And Myla joins me in studio. Myla, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Moreno David is a senior at Balboa High School and also lives in Bayview Hunters Point. Jennifer, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Caitlin Narosa is a sophomore at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts. She's a participant in Huckleberry Youth's Wellness Academy. It's a college and career access program for first-generation college students. Caitlin, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Ashanti Ned is a sophomore at Balboa High. Ashanti, hi. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jesse Osorio is the Health Education Coordinator at the 3rd Street Youth Center and Clinic in the Bayview. Jesse was on our recent show talking about how we can prevent gun violence and reach out to students before they threaten schools. And it was such a good show. We said, Jesse, we've got to have you back. And if you can bring in some young people, which you did.
I got you.
Thank you so much.
thank you
for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, right before we started the show, we were just talking about the March for Our Lives and gun control. And Jennifer, you jumped right in and said, gun violence and hearing guns is just a regular part of your life in Bayview Hunters Point.
It really just is something that it shouldn't be normal for me, but I've been living there for the past, 10 years, I believe, and just hearing gunshots, hearing people get robbed, hearing people get stabbed, is something normal, and it shouldn't be. I don't think it should be because people are people, and I hate how the NRA's line is, people kill people, guns don't kill people, and I just believe it's stupid because you think somebody that's underage shouldn't have a gun, and they do, and it's like, how can you prevent that? How can you prevent somebody underage not have a gun, or like, if they're having problems in their own home, how can you help them instead of trying to kill people for making them feel better? Mm-hmm. And then hearing guns and hearing people get shot, at first I used to be scared. At first I used to be like, oh, that can be me. And then when you're walking in the streets, you believe you just have to have a straight face, go from point A to point B, walk as fast as you can, because if not, you never know who's behind you. You never know who's in the streets with you. You just never know. So, like, for me, I always have to be on my toes because you don't know if they're going to come for you, and then you can't have your phone out. If you have jewelry, it's like you don't have to hide it, but you kind of have to hide it with your hair. Or, like, yeah, you just have to, like, keep yourself like this. And then just when you're walking from school to home, you just have to keep your backpack near you because people are always looking at you. And mostly, like, for me, like, I'm fair skinned. Like, I'm not somebody, like, I am a person of color, but you would think I'm somebody else. Like, you would think I'm a white person or something like that. But I'm not. Like, I'm Latin. I'm from Honduras. Like, you would think they see you. They put you in a target. It's like you have a target on your back. And, like, yeah, you just have to walk until you're home and then just lock the door right behind you because they can be following you and you just don't know.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 17.
Do you talk with your teachers, family, counselors about this?
And my family, we have a safe place. We have, like, an evacuation. Like, if anything was to happen, like, we know where to go. Like, I have two younger siblings who are twins and they're boys, and they already know what to do. Why? Because I rather prepare them than them being not prepared, and then it's like, oh God, what do I do now? Like, they know my cell phone number, they know my parents' cell phone number, they know how to get, like, because we don't have a car, so we use public transportation. Like, they know how to get from their school to home or to the safe place. Like, we already have that plan because we know where we live, and we know anything can happen at any time, and it's like a ticking time bomb for me.
Myla, you were shaking your head when you were listening to Jennifer speak. You also live in the Bayview.
Yes, I do.
What's your experience been like?
It's similar to hers. I just feel like you have to be alert at all times. You can't just be on your phone, walking home. You have to be alert. You can't just be comfortable in somewhere you call home. You have to be alert.
The kids who spoke at the rally in D.C., from South Los Angeles to Chicago, were talking about what it's like for them. A lot of them have lost their loved ones. And they said, we need after-school programs. We need paid internships. We need jobs. The Third Street Youth Center and Clinic is an amazing organization that provides youth in the Bayview with resources. But what else is available for you in the Bayview?
Well, I'm part of a program called College Track, and I've been there since eighth grade. And they've given me so many opportunities. Like, it's crazy. Like, I've been to Washington, D.C. They've paid for that trip. With that also, I've been part of Mock Trial, and then I'm captain this year. And with that, I got the opportunity to actually work at a law firm this past summer, and it's just like out of nowhere opportunities come, and I just get them because opportunities like that don't really come for people of color. Like, you have to look for them. Like, they just don't hand them to you. Like, you have to be open and you have to be alert. And it's just like College Track is the most amazing program I could have ever joined.
Caitlin, where do you live?
I live in the Noe Valley.
What goes through your mind when you hear Myla and Jennifer talk about what they endure in Bayview Hunters Point?
Well, since I've been living in San Francisco, I'm also aware about specific neighborhoods and what goes down in the neighborhoods. And when I was a little kid, I lived in the Mission, and I would see, like, gang fights or people getting robbed. I've been in a robbery before, and it's become something so normalized. And to expose that to a little kid, like, at 4 years old is something that's so wrong and so messed up about society, and nothing's really being done. Mm. We can't really prevent it, but we need to, and
nothing is being done. And we're going to talk about that throughout the show, because we have a mayor's race here in San Francisco in this very wealthy city. And what are politicians doing for neighborhoods like yours and communities like yours? Ashanti, where do you live?
I live in Hunters Point.
You live in the Bayview? Can you talk about what your experience is living there?
Well, I recently moved back. I moved kind of away from the city because, you know...
Actually, can we...
Switch off?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. We just moved the mic. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thanks.
I lived in Bayview's Hunters Point, and I moved there when I was first six. And then I never really went outside because, you know, I'm used to hearing, like, gunshots. And when I first heard it, yeah, I was scared. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go outside. I'm not going to communicate with anyone. I don't want anything to happen to me or my family. So it's kind of like communication, like, where are you at? Are you okay? Am I going to be safe going to school, waiting for the bus in the morning? Is something going to happen at school? Someone's going to pull up to the campus and fight someone? Someone going to get shot? And it's like you never know, so you always have to be alert. So I think growing up around here is just something you get used to, and it shouldn't be that way, but it's that way because, you know, we're youth, and that's what we see. That's what we walk out to. We walk out seeing people getting robbed. We, on social media, we see people promoting the violence, so it's nothing really that we can do about it to stop it. So, like, it needs to be something there for us to, like, go to stop it, because it shouldn't be a normal thing for youth. Like, that shouldn't be a factor in our life. We should be focused on our dreams and getting to college and being successful instead of worrying about our safety. And we shouldn't have to worry about our safety when the government is supposed to protect us, but it's not really, they're not protecting us as far as we can see.
You know, when we talk about communities like the Bayview, we should also say that there are so many people doing such good work in these communities, so many good organizations. But do you have access to these groups? Do you feel like there are resources for you and your siblings and your friends in the Bayview?
Well, there are resources, but I don't feel like they're just out there that you can see. Like, you really have to look into it you have to, like, do your research. Like, if you want a good job, like a good summer job, you really have to look for it. You can't just go out and be like, oh, I can go here and get this job, because, you know, not a lot of people talk about it, because there's not a lot of job opportunities out here. I mean, people say there are, but how hard is it for us to get one? It's really hard, actually.
It is hard.
Mm-hmm. So being with the people like Jesse and people from my school, like the supportive people in my life, they helped me get to places. Like, I worked at APRI on Evans. That's a nonprofit organization. We basically got paid to learn about the government and the plans of Bayview and how they're trying to change everything about the power plant, and everything was, it was just all crazy. And it was like a good opportunity because I got to see stuff I never had to see. I got to go to the Opera House. I never been to the Opera House before, and I just thought it was so beautiful. Wow. And it was just crazy.
You just don't expect it to be there. You'd be like, oh, baby, they don't have nothing nice. They don't deserve it.
Right.
Or if it's not, it's going to be shut up. You don't even think it's going to be pretty. Like,
exactly.
They just expect you. They just think Bayview is a dirty place where crackheads live and then just people that don't have nothing live. But if you really look into it, Bayview Hunters Point has beautiful places, beautiful parks. Like, they just redid a whole park, like, I think it's like a block away from my house. And then it's all these little things you don't expect to see because there's already this box where, like, you're being stereotyped and you're just like, oh, you're from Bayview. And then they just give you this look, like, what's wrong if I'm from Bayview? Like, there's nothing wrong from being from there. That's where I live. That's where I grew up. Like, it's just this space they give you, and then it just makes you feel so defensive because, okay, what if I'm from there? What's the problem? Like, I'm not like all these other people. Like, why you gotta put me in that box? Why can't I be outside the box? But if you're outside the box, you still get judged. It's like, you're never gonna stop being judged. And then, like, the Opera House, I'm actually graduating there from College Track. And then it's just, like, people were like, oh, that's open? I thought that was shut down. Like, it's just these little things that you notice people say or, like, they mumble. And I'm just like, why don't you say it louder? Like, I'm not afraid to speak for my community, especially if I know how everything runs and I know programs around there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jesse, can you talk about what resources are available in the Bayview? And do you feel like, you know, politicians in this very wealthy city are paying attention to the Bayview?
I feel like there's a bunch of, like, hidden gems in Bayview Hunters Point. And I feel like sometimes it's very difficult to navigate through it. Like, you know, and especially for our young people, like, you know, having to go to one program to another program, they have to walk through a valley of all these different things that they have to go through. So sometimes it's not even safe just to walk to a program to get this opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's not even safe to walk to the program.
It's not even safe to walk to the program. And I think on the last show we were talking about it, like how, you know, even with after school programs, like from the transition from school to after school, like it's like the biggest problem. You know, it's just like, cause again, like you hear it from all these students that are saying it is just the biggest fear factor is just having to go from one place to another, for having to go from school to an after school program, or having to go from school to after school program to home. Those transition points are so fragile that they walk in fear, and it's a tough way to kind of be in a state of mind that you have to walk around, like Myla said, is to walk around in a place with fear when you call this place your home. You know, and you know, there are a bunch of amazing programs out there. You know, like, definitely shout out to, like, College Track, Bayview Hunters Point Foundation, CYC, 3rd Street, the Bayview Y, APRI, the Boys and Girls Club. There's a bunch of organizations out there that are doing some amazing work that you know are true gems in the community. And unfortunately, there's just having to get to those places are even just tough as it is. And then, of course, like, you know, we were talking in the past before about, like, even just how we even have to fight with each other just to get money to run for our programs, right? So it's just like, how do we have a conversation where we can start building together and really start, instead of fighting for numbers and fighting for funding, like, how can we really start really building together? Because we know that we'll have, like, an Ashanti or a Jennifer that will go from one program to another program to another program. Like, how can we really start having those types of conversations with our own communities and our own organizations, saying, you know, we need to start working together so that we can really have it more in depth of what it is.
That is Jesse Osorio. He's Health Education Coordinator at the 3rd Street Youth Center and Clinic in Bayview Hunters Point here in San Francisco. And we had Jesse on a couple weeks ago. We were talking about how can we reach kids before they threaten schools. And when we had Jesse on, we thought, you know what? Spring break is coming up. It'd be great if you can bring in a few kids. And so he did. Youth, I should say. Young women, I should say. And he did. Today we're joined by Ashanti Ned, sophomore at Balboa High School. Myla Turner is a junior at Independence High School. Jennifer Marino David is a senior at Balboa. Caitlin Neroza is a sophomore at Ruth Asawa School of Arts. Myla, Jennifer, and Ashanti are part of the 3rd Street Youth Center, and Caitlin is a participant in Huckleberry Youth's Wellness Academy. It's a college and career access program for first-generation college students. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. We are also live on Facebook. You can check it out at facebook.com/KALW Public Radio. If you click on the video, you can then take part in the conversation there. You can also email your call at kalw.org. You know, we were talking about what the Bayview is like. Okay, we are living in one of the wealthiest cities in the country, in a city with massive inequality. I'm guessing that a lot of people who live in San Francisco have never been to the Bayview, or they drive through it, right? And as you said, they tend to stereotype it.
Yes.
Would any of you like to talk about that? And also, what do you think about all of the massive wealth that we're now seeing in this city? I know that there's all this new development in the Bayview. I saw these new condos going up, right, in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that, Jennifer?
I can start. Well, for me personally, I just think it sucks how my own family doesn't like to visit me because I live in the Bayview district. Like, I remember one of my aunts, she came from L.A., and then they were going to bring her over to the house, and then I guess somebody, or I think it was like some family friend, oh, don't go there. They're going to rob you. They're going to mug you. And then what if you get shot? Then that's going to be on us because we brought you there. And it's just like, why do you automatically think you're going to get shot or you're going to get mugged when it's just like, it's not going to happen? Like, why are you already putting that target on us when it hasn't even happened to us, thankfully? Like, none of us have never gotten shot. None of us have ever gotten robbed. Like, thank Lord that we've never happened through that. But it's just like, growing up in the Bayview, like, I've loved to live there. And it just sucks because I'm a senior now. I have to move away. Like, I have to go to college. But I'm still going to be coming back. And it just sucks how you want people to visit you and you want people to see how beautiful our neighborhood is, because we have so many parks, we have so many programs for little kids, that it just sucks how people just don't want to go because there's a stereotype on it.
What would you add, Myla?
I feel like that they're making it hard for us to even live in Bayview, like, just jumping into how much rent is or to live. It's like they want to push us out and make us go somewhere else. Like, they're building all these nice places, but I've heard a lot of people who've lived in the old buildings can't even live there anymore. So that's why everyone go to Pittsburgh and Antioch, where they can afford living in another city.
Yes.
Well, and speaking of being pushed out, as a young Black woman, the city is losing so many Black people.
Because they're moving out. They're going to Oakland.
The numbers
just
keep...
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, Ashanti?
I feel like them building all the new apartments, they're not building the apartments for us. They're not trying to make sure we have a... Well, they say they're here for us to make sure we have a safe place to stay. They're building houses for
others.
People, like tourists who come and visit. Oh, I want to live in San Francisco. They want to change the parks and everything to make it look better, just for the better side of everyone. They don't think about how it makes us feel. You're changing our home. Our homes are... they're being changed. You're changing the colors. You're changing what we used to seeing every day on a daily basis. You're changing it to something else that we're not used to. And then on top of that, you're making it hard for us to live there because not everyone is stable, like financially stable to live in those houses. Not everyone gets that much income. So them knowing that, I feel like they're targeting us and pushing us out. Because most, I know personally, families who lived in the old houses who, when they got relocated, they never moved back to their houses. They relocated to different cities, and
some people even moved out of state.
It's like, gone that far. Like, I live in a low-income house building, and then I used to play with so many kids of my age, and then year turns year, everybody's getting kicked out. Why? Because they can't afford it. And where are they moving? Oakland, Hayward, Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't even visit them no more because they're so far away. Like, they're going to be like, oh, we're going to be back. That's a damn lie. They're not going to be back. Why? Because they can't afford it. San Francisco is one of the most expensive cities to live in. And us just living in low income, it's expensive. Like, you just don't have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of others. You have to take care of family. Like, it's just so many expenses that people can't even afford that. Like, now they have to move across the bridge, and then they have to pay for the bridge, and then they also have to pay for car and then the gas and the insurance. It's like, yeah, moving out is great, but there's more expenses to come with it if you live or work in the city.
Jesse?
Yeah, and I agree with all of them. And I think also, like, especially, you know, with the evolving community, youth are not in the conversation. Mm. You know, so they're not given the access to be in the conversation. You have a lot of politicians, a lot of stakeholders in the community that are not giving our young people the opportunity to express how they feel. You know, and this is their future. This is their future community. And there's a lot of adults and stakeholders that are deciding what the fate of their future. And I think it's shady. I think it's super shady. I think especially even now, like how we were just talking about, like how like this mayor thing is coming up. Like, you know, there's a lot of moves that are being made, but you know, but where are the young people in this conversation? Mm-hmm. Well, how come they don't have the opportunity to express how they feel and what they're going through, you know, and have a say about where this money should be going, you know? And again, we have a lot of adults that are deciding that faith. And you know, you look at the past of where we've been and where we're at now, you know? And last time we were talking about the show about, like, how our public education system is failing our young people. I'm like, they're not being competitive to what's being out here right now. By the time that they graduate high school, they're not competitive to compete against all these other people that are coming into San Francisco. They're not ready to be in a position to work at a .com or to know all these codings, or even just that alone, just being financially stable themselves, like understanding what credit is or understanding like the basic things that we need to be able to survive out here in the city. And so I think that especially out here in the city, to be a world-class city and have no real investment in our young people, it's a shame. Mm.
Jesse Osorio is the health education coordinator at the 3rd Street Youth Center and Clinic in Bayview Hunters Point. And Jesse brought in three young people he works with. Ashanti Ned is a sophomore at Balboa High. Myla Turner is a junior at Independence High. Jennifer Moreno David is a senior at Balboa High. We're also joined today by Caitlin Neroza. And Caitlin, after the break, I know you have strong opinions about inequality, and I'm going to ask you about that right after the break. Caitlin is a sophomore at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, and she is a participant in Huckleberry Youth's Wellness Academy, a college and career access program for first-generation college students. And today we are talking with Bay Area youth. And, you know, I also want to know your thoughts after the break about language, because when we were putting the show together, we said underserved youth. And I thought, well, what do the youth think about that? To be called underserved youth, right? What do you think about this language we use about communities that are neglected by politicians, for example? I'd love to hear your thoughts after the break. If you caught any of the speeches, the amazing speeches at the March for Our Lives rally in D.C., you heard youth from Chicago to South Los Angeles say, yes, we need stricter gun laws, but we also need resources to tackle gun violence in our communities, mentorship programs, after-school programs, paid internships, and good jobs. This is your call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will continue our coverage of the March for Our Lives rally. That march brought hundreds of thousands of people to the streets for gun control. But young activists say that gun violence disproportionately affects communities of color. And young people living in those communities say that they do not get the attention they deserve when they speak out against gun violence. So tomorrow, we will speak with young activists from San Francisco and Chicago. We'll also be joined by a survivor of the Columbine shooting. And then on Thursday, we will talk about rising teacher power from West Virginia to the Bay Area. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org. Today, we're joined by a roundtable of young people and an amazing man who works with young people, Jesse Osorio, Health Education Coordinator at the 3rd Street Youth Center and Clinic in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood here in San Francisco. We're joined today by Myla Turner, a junior at Independence High School, Jennifer Marino David, a senior at Balboa High School, Caitlin Neroza, a sophomore at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, and Ashanti Ned, a sophomore at Balboa High. I wanted to ask you, Caitlin, about inequality in San Francisco, because you have said that you feel like people from different classes don't interact, don't really talk to each other.
Well, I think it also has to do something with stereotypes. For example, we can't sort of mix with the Presidio kids with Mission kids because they don't just get along, or, you know, like, oh, they'll just start a fight, or they're not on our level or something. And I just think that we sort of divide ourselves in a way where we can't mix or we can't get along because we're from totally different backgrounds. Like, someone could be middle class and white, or someone else can be black and from a low income family. And I feel like there are more similarities we have with each other than there are differences. And I feel like if we just come together as a youth, as a whole community, then we can do something bigger and stronger, and we can change that stigma about youth or people in general.
Well, and I think that's what's so powerful about the March for Our Lives, because you have the Parkland, Florida kids who come from a privileged background. They live in a gated community. And there was an amazing article in the Chicago Tribune about kids from Chicago who flew to Parkland to exchange ideas and to talk. And at the rally, you saw people from a wide range of backgrounds: South Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. What do you think about that, about youth really reaching out to each other across class lines, across race lines, and across the country?
I mean, that really shows the power of the youth and how we can, if we can be together as a whole community, if we can set aside our differences and come as a whole and work together, we can actually make change and our voices can be heard.
I just feel like a huge part...
Jennifer.
Yeah, I just feel like a huge part of it is social media. Social media is used so much now that you can talk to somebody across the world, and then you guys can have the same idea. Why? Because you don't have to be right next to each other to share ideas. It's like, when people, even though some people didn't get to march out in Washington, D.C., there were several marches around here in San Francisco and in L.A., everywhere, even though we couldn't be in Washington, D.C., we still had the same idea, and we still had the same power. Why? Because ideas are being exchanged through social media.
Does anyone else have a comment on that one before we get to a caller?
I just think Myla. No one listens to the youth, but we are the next generation, so they need to take our ideas, because when they are old, we're going to be the ones doing what they did. So if we don't have a part in making changes, then what is it like?
Well, we have a mayor's race coming up. It's in June, and the next mayor could possibly be in power for the next 10 years in San Francisco and really change things. Myla, what would you say to the people running for mayor about youth, about your community, about the changes you'd like to see?
I feel like they need to focus on communities and schools. Those are like the less important things to them. Like, they rather worry about wars in Afghanistan than help out with school supplies and more technology for learning. They don't care what we do. Like, you know, they don't want to help us. They don't want to have better security at schools. They don't want to profit more organizations for the youth to come together and get along so we could be great. You know, they don't give us those opportunities to be better.
Do you feel like you have the resources you need at Independence High School?
Independence High School is really good. I've took a coding class. We don't get as many electives, but they try. I feel like it's a good school for kids who want to get away from distractions. Fighting at school, can't get along with the teachers. It's a lot of one-on-one help, and I really appreciate that school.
Ashanti, what would you say to the candidates running for mayor?
Being that I've actually been to City Hall to meet, like, well, we know Mayor Lee passed, but meeting him and everyone who works there, London Breed, meeting those people, I feel like they should be focused on the youth and thinking about our future. Like, when you guys are gone, how's that gonna take effect on us? What did you leave behind for us to pick up and keep going on with? What did you leave behind that you want us to make even better? What do you want us to leave in the past for our next generation? What do you want us to get out of it? Like, help us have resources that we can go to and get. Make it easy for us to have resources so we don't be out on the streets. So you don't think that teens, oh, all they want to do is just party. They're not serious. They don't care about school. Like, make school
interesting.
Yeah, basically make it interesting. Let us have more programs, open up more community centers. Maybe we have more stuff to do instead of walking around roaming the streets sometimes, you know.
I just feel like whoever's running for mayor, I feel like they should have a week where they actually come to us and see what a day in our lives is, to see what resources we do have, what resources we don't have. I just feel like they should have a week where they go through the Bayview district or through any district and see how different it is for us growing up compared to how personally how they grew up. Like, they should see what opportunities we do need, what community centers we want. Like, they just have the stereotype on us that we like to party or we don't care about school or we just don't care, but we do care, and we're trying to find it, but we can't have it because they're not given to us. Like, we have to literally search and search and search for places instead of already being there and be like, oh, there's this program here. I'm interested. I want to go. But we don't have that. We have to look for it instead of just being handed to us.
They make it harder for us to succeed in life. Yeah. Definitely. Is we kids from the Bayview have to work 10 times harder than anybody else. We work hard for what we have. So when people from our neighborhood get into the NBA, football, man, leagues, it's like we happy. We appreciate it because it's like what we live through, what we go through, our parents financially, like, it's really hard to be from Bayview. Like,
yeah, like, I think me being a senior, and I'm actually graduating on stage, on time, I have straight A's, and I'm part of so many programs. I literally, like, people ask me, are you proud of what you've done? Of course I'm proud of what I've done. I've worked so hard to be where I'm at now that I'm actually happy with the programs that I've joined and with the support that I've gotten from Jesse. I've gotten from College Track. I've gotten from CYC. And it's just, like, all these little things, all these programs that I had to look for, like, they're there, and they actually supported me. And now that I'm a senior, I'm so grateful to be happy about where I come from. Because I'm from the Bayview district. Like, they would have assumed I would have been 16 and pregnant. Or they would have assumed, oh, she's probably part of something. And it's just, like, these little things they assume from you. And I'm happy that I'm not like everybody else. That I'm happy that I actually care about school. I want to become an immigration lawyer and help those who can't have the help that they need. And then I want them not to be afraid to speak to me. Like, I can speak two languages. Like, some people are afraid to speak into authority, to speaking or to police, because they're afraid that if they talk to them, they say something wrong, they're going to get arrested. And then once they're arrested, they're probably going to get deported back to their country. Why? Because they don't have papers. So it's like, it's all these little things that I have looked for and actually, like, worked through that now is inspiring me to want to pursue to be an immigration lawyer.
Jesse?
I think it's, you know, just hearing their stories, it's just like when you hear the stories about, like, how, like, they go through every day, you know, from program to program, but then also in the back of the mind of feeling that fear of just walking through your neighborhood, right, and going through all these different adversities and challenges, it makes them so unique, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you look at them and be like, man, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do because I didn't have that, or I want to be – we're all genuinely caring about each other. You know what I'm saying? And, like, we really want to help each other out. I think that's what makes our neighborhood so unique, is that there is this true, genuine care about each other, you know, and I think that we still need – long ways to go to improve it. You know what I'm saying? There's still a lot of work, you know, and I mean, from policing our communities. I think the last time we were talking about our show was just like how, you know, like the African-American population is completely decreased in our neighborhood, where, like, you know, I wish on this radio show right now that I could have more African American males on this show to talk about their experience and what they're coming from. And then they're all getting locked up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like they're all getting locked up. And like what's left is we have all our black and brown women that are left in the neighborhood. So who are they going to be targeting next? Is them, right? So it's just like, you know, it's a lot of work to be done. You know what I'm saying? And like, from the police game to politics and a lot of these adults that are navigating these moves for our young people, they need to be checked. They need to be checked. I need to be checked. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's times where, like, I feel like I might think it's the right direction, but I need to be checking with my young folks. Be like, hey, is this the right move that we should be moving towards? You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people out there in the community that are not even doing that at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, given the opportunity to say, hey, like, what do y'all feel about this move? Like, should we be doing this? Y'all think it's all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and have that dialogue, where some folks just kind of be like, I'm just gonna make this move, and whether you're happy or not, like, you're gonna accept it, and if that means that your family's gonna be out of it, then peace.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, well.
Do you have men or young men in your lives who are in jail?
Yeah, for a long time. I actually had one who recently got out. And it's crazy. Like, I really feel like the sentences that they give young men, Latinos and black men, is ridiculous. Like, I feel like at the clinic, like last week, we were talking about kind of like the drug epidemic and stuff like that, and how jail is a business. So they're gonna keep having people come sent to jail and keep them from a long time, or make it to where when you get out of jail, you can't get a job. So you're most likely to go back to your old habit and come right back to keep making money for the government.
It's
so
like you're brainwashed.
You're brainwashed, and like some drugs, like the whole marijuana thing,
it's legal now.
Wow. But
woohoo.
Why should that tiny drug, I shouldn't say tiny, but that less of a problematic drug give you life for 15 years? Like, that's,
now they're locked up for life, and what are you gonna do? You can't get them
out.
They
can't get a job. They can't.
It's gonna be on their record forever.
And
I think what makes it so difficult as well too is that, like, you know, specifically to our neighborhood and then probably even the Mission District as well too, is that you have gang task force police officers that are targeting black and brown folks, you know what I'm saying, just off the pettiest things. And so, like, you know, they're already getting arrested, they're getting, you know, crime, you know, a list upon list added to their records. And so by the time that they're trying to get their life together, they're already defeated. So it's just like they're not even given a chance to compete in this world, because they already got caught up by this racist department. You know what I'm saying?
And like, think there's something to work for. They'd be like, oh well, I already gave up. I already went to jail. It's like, oh well, there's life. I can't get a job. I'm gonna go back to sell whatever I had to sell. I'm gonna make more money. If I get locked up, well, I'm gonna be in there for life, or I'm gonna be able to get out again. It's like, they don't have goals anymore. They just think, I can't get a job no more. I can't get this anymore. It's just like, they don't have something to work towards no more. Why? Because they're brainwashed. They have to live in this jail, and they have to live that certain type of way. And when they get out, everything is so brand new, because everything is new. Everything, we have technology now. Like, everything is so, I don't even know how to
and
say
I think
it.
That's the battle, right? I think it's the battle. Like, for some of our young folks, they already been defeated before they even get to start playing the game, you know. And they walk out and they're out there on the corner, you know, already defeated, because that's the only option that they have. You know what I'm saying? And trying to, like, even break through that mental state of mind and trying to get them to say, like, that there is hope is even a challenge. You know what I'm saying? And like we were talking about earlier, how, like, there's not enough funding to feed these programs and these services to help our young black and brown folks, or, you know, that really need that help, you know, and it's a challenge.
I feel like Latinos and black men are a threat to society, but a white person needs mental help. They get sent automatically to a mental
stereotype.
Yeah, they already think that they just have because they're troubled boys.
They had a broken life.
They had it. Their parents wasn't
I'm
home.
So well, sorry.
A lot of our parents, we have fathers who been to jail all their kids' life, and parents who can't afford to raise kids on their own because
But they're a violent threat.
Yeah, but we're violent threats.
They just need help.
They need help.
They need
therapy.
They come from a broken family.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, they want to make you feel sorry for them.
Right.
But they're not the only ones going through it. Mm-hmm. I feel like every race has to go through it. Like, why does your race have to impact where you come or what is given to you? Like, oh, the boy who shot up in Parkland. Oh, he comes from a broken family. His mother died. You should feel so terrible for him. Okay, but why didn't they see this problem earlier?
That's
it. If they already knew he had an issue, why didn't you fix the issue then instead of he shot up because some girl broke up with him and then he wanted to make everybody feel sorry for him and he shot up on Valentine's Day? Oh, but that's a mental health issue.
And I also feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just my opinion, but the black community, we really pay attention to our children. It may not seem like it, but my mom is very hands-on with what I do inside her house and
I'm
outside.
Latin, and my parents,
and Jessie is a big help, too. So I know for a fact we're hands-on. So if my mom ever felt like I was a threat to any school or a threat to society, I would really want her to seek help from me. And in general, I don't feel like she should ignore the fact or... People should pay attention to their children.
Yeah,
not even Jessie's just in general.
Pay attention to the fact that she has to even say this.
Yeah, and I think I mean it's real, and I think that's what makes our neighborhood so amazing, right? Is that we do. I mean, there are adults, and there's even community organizations that even we talk to each other and be like, oh, I know that Mila's going from this organization to that organization, but even our organization are talking and be like, yeah, you know, just make sure to kind of look out for her for this or that. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I think those are like the little hidden gems about our community that make it so powerful, right? But it doesn't get acknowledged. It doesn't get put out there. It doesn't get put on blast. But our neighborhood does get focused on crime rates or drugs or all these other things, but don't really kind of shine on the things that make us beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's the challenging piece, you know, and it's man, I give it up to my young people every day because I know that like they go through so many different things of what life offers and just that community alone and you know it's a tough thing to be a young person, especially out here in the city nowadays where like no one's really caring about them.
Yeah, it just shows that if our parents aren't there for us, we know that our community
somebody else is gonna be
there
like for
us. It's been times where. When I worked at MIEP, the Mayor's Youth Employment and Education Program, that our coordinator would drop some kids off at home because they're aware. They know. Like, Jesse even dropped some kids off at home before to make sure when
He's
it's late.
He's always there checking up on you. Do you need help? How's life going? Are you okay? How are your grades? Just the
our
little things.
Hands-on, and that's what I really appreciate. Like, I wish it was more because it's so much one person or two people could do, but if the rest of the adults in our community paid attention to us, and
it'd be so good.
It would be great. Like, it's really appreciated to know, like, if there's kids fighting or just anything, that they will step up to the plate. They won't just be like, oh,
it's all right. It happens
kids,
all the time.
They know they, yeah, like. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of programs, Caitlin, you are a participant in Huckleberry Youth's Wellness Academy, a college and career access program for first-generation college students. What has this program done to help you?
Well, staff members like Vanya or Tomas or Vicky, they help and reach out to us if we're falling a bit on our grades or if we need internship opportunities or when we go on field trips. They pay for our clipper. They pay for our muni tickets. They're there to support us. They're on our sides, and they're not ever against us. They're there to support us, and it comes from love. Mm. It really does.
We have about 5 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about, well, I'd love to find out what you all want to do eventually. You talked about becoming an immigration attorney. Ashanti, you're a sophomore right now at Balboa High School.
Yes, I am. I know it might sound crazy, but I don't know. I really like going to school. Like you say, like most kids seem, oh, I go to school because my parents make me go to school. I want to go to college, but I want to go to college for the parties and the people. Like I really like learning. I don't know what it is, but it's just something like, I guess it's because since a young age, like, I used to live in Oakland, and I used to be around a lot of negative people, and they used to always tell me, like, oh, by 15, you're not going to be in school. You're going to drop out of school. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to be out on the streets. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. But the little do they know, since elementary school, I've been on principal's honor roll. I actually like going to school. I like getting opportunities to go to programs that other people, like African-Americans and Latinos, they don't get a chance to get because they're not put out there for us. They're usually put out there for high income families, and I'm sorry to say it, but it just is, because I went to a program and there were only two other black kids there, and that was just that. And mm-hmm. It seemed so awkward, because I actually got an altercation with one of the teachers because I felt like I was being alienated from the group, and I had to sit down and talk with them and say, like, hey, I feel like you're alienating me from the group. I don't feel like I'm being appreciated here just as much as everyone else worked hard to get here. I worked hard to get here, too. So I'm
just
saying,
don't make me feel like this little person if I know I got here for a reason.
Exactly.
I made it for a reason.
Everyone's here for a reason. You see, my grades, they prove it. So I feel like I should be here. Obviously, the manager, whoever runs this program, feels like I should be here. So I think you should give me an opportunity and treat me the same way as you're treating these other students. So I'm saying, like, I go to school. I like it. So I see myself being a medical engineer, a doctor, a lawyer. I just want to do something to prove everyone who ever doubted me and said that I wouldn't make it, I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. My grades prove it. My GPA, everything. I try to get myself in programs so I don't, you know, like, fall slack back. Off and go off and be partying and not focused on school and saying, oh, forget school. It's not important now, because
important.
I want to show everyone that I'm here to make it out. Because I can make it out. And everyone who says that you can't, they're trying to push you down to the barrel. They don't want you to be the first one out. They want to be on top. They don't want to see you win. And that's a sad case, because we should all be supporting each other. We should all be helping each other get to the top. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be pushing certain groups down to the bottom of the barrel. That's not right.
What happened after you stood up for yourself?
Oh, she started treating me nice. Everything went well. We had a showcase at downtown SF. I got to meet the SF jazz instrument players. I got to do a professional ballet, meet professional ballet, watch sneak peeks of the Nutcracker before it even came out. Oh my God, it was so beautiful, but I'm not supposed to talk about it. It was so nice. I got to sing opera with real opera singers. Like I'm saying, it's a lot of opportunities out there that I feel like we should have more opportunities too. Because I actually try to put some of my friends on game. Like, come with me to this meeting. You could get a job. You wouldn't have to worry about people playing with your money or worrying about how to get a job or how you're going to get money. You could come with me. We can have a job. Mm-hmm. We can have something to do.
Especially in an area with so many resources.
Right, exactly. Right. But they're not put out there, so they don't know.
Mm.
And it's a lot of kids that I personally love, like my best friend right now. She's trying to get into a better school because she wants to better herself. She doesn't want to be just basic. She wants what's best for her, and I'm doing everything I can to help her, being that she's older than me, but I still want to help, because, you know, that's what we should do. We should be helping each other. We shouldn't be yelling at each other, fighting each other. Fighting to me is really just pointless. Like, what's the point? Mm. It's no
Can't
purpose.
Can't you just talk it out?
Like,
Caitlin, what about you?
About.
You're a sophomore right now at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, and you're in a career access program for first-generation college students.
Yes.
What are you hoping to do?
I'm hoping to leave an impact leave a legacy for the rest of the youth and prove them that, like, even if you come from a low-income family, even if you're a person of color, you can still get on your feet and have the life that you want to live. Like, you aren't in this limited box where you can just get a full-time job or go to City College and that's it. There are still so many other opportunities that you can get and that you can receive. And there isn't just one door there's so many opportunities and many doors open, and I want to prove that that you can do it. If I can do it, then others can do it too.
Myla, what about you?
I like working with kids, so I am thinking about becoming a probation officer or going into child care, but then I might be a pediatric or a child therapist or a surgical nurse for kids, so I got my options open.
And what can we all do to support you? What can the larger community do to support you, would you say?
I just feel like just supporting me in general, like, just check up on me. Like, it's not so hard to shoot a text or to call. Just be there. Like, don't, we're not invisible. We're not on the wall. Like, just be there, support us, ask how we're doing, ask what's your goal, how are you trying to get there? Oh, you're going to graduate? When's your graduation? Are you happy that you're graduating? What college are you going to go to? How are you going to get to college? How are you going to pay for college? It's like all these little questions that make you feel like they appreciate you and they're listening to you and that they actually care for you. Like, just don't ignore us. If you ignore us, we're going to make you hear us. Like, it's simple as that. Like, now the youth, they're not, even though politicians aren't listening, they're marching, there's protests. We're gonna make you hear us one way or another. Like, there's so many resources now that are out there just to listen to us. So you're gonna listen to us regardlessly.
Jennifer Marino David is a senior at Balboa High School. Myla Turner is a junior at Independence High School. Ashanti Ned is a sophomore at Balboa High. They all live in San Francisco's Bayview Hunters Point. Caitlin Neroza is a sophomore at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, and she's participating in Huckleberry Youth's Wellness Academy. Jesse Osoro is the Health Education Coordinator at the 3rd Street Youth Center and Clinic in the Bayview. Thank you all so much for coming in and sharing your stories and your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and keep up the great work. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
Your Call is produced here at KALW in San Francisco. Thanks to Laura Wenis for producing today's show, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.